Welcome to the Shelter Footycast. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, taking you through all the big stuff in the AFL of the week gone by and coming up ahead. Skeeter, we've got a Patreon now, mate. Are you excited?
I've never heard the term Patreon, but I'm on board with you, Scoey. If you take me to the promised land, I'm there.
VIP content, discounts, and much more. Backchatstudios.com.au to sign up as a VIP.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yes, live Shelter Footycast from the Backchat Studios. We join you on the 1st of April. Happy 1st of April. April Fool's Day today, Skeeter. You got anything for us? Any jokes for us, mate?
There'll be a couple of folks just listening and watching thinking there's a couple of buffoons slash fools in front of us. But now, great to be here. Been a big Easter. I've basically just not done anything except watch footy, which has been a lot of fun.
And work. Eddie McGuire of Perth, you are. You just
on a far lower salary. I've got to say, though, I did receive, I had a selfie on the weekend. Just got to give a
another
shout
one.
Out. Yeah, at the CBH, which is, if you didn't know, is the Cottesloe Beach Hotel.
Is that right? you refer to it as the CBH, too.
Anyway,
you idiot.
The boys from the Carlisle Cricket Club, they were having the end of season Mad Saturday, whatever it was.
Bullshit.
They were dressed up and they loved the show, and I just thought I'd give the shout out to the boys who were on the gas clearly and not sure whether they were going to end up in a penitentiary at some stage, but they were on fire. So to the Carlisle Cricket Club lads, great to have you on board, and they actually think we're quite funny, which is unlike my family.
Yes. You know, I was thinking about this because I was listening to you on radio on the way in, and you're always banging on about, oh, my big media career, but everyone knows me from the Shelter Footycast. I reckon it's the only media platform that people get to see you, Skeeter.
Yeah, true.
People actually get to see the real Mark Reddings.
Which is not great.
No, it is great. It's fucking good. I'm giving you a pump up for once in your life, and I'll shut you straight down. Your car going okay, mate? Had some information come through to the podcast. You might have been in a bit of a rush a couple of weeks ago out of the footy, and you backed it into a light pole.
You reckon that's funny? I've still got to pay $1,500 excess. So, no, the Kia car, which is going back for good very shortly. Thank you to Osmond Park.
But take it off you.
It's taking off me. So to the Fleet Network, to Frank Agostino, and the team, just for what it's worth, there's some love ready to be given from me to try and get a car. That, by the way, that's the first accident I've had in about 20 years, so I don't think I'm just going to bang cars.
What happened?
Well, the traffic getting out of Optus in the Marley Loop anyway. So
you were
getting
a bit flustered.
I thought I'd just try and reverse out and beat the big line.
So you cut the line?
No, I was going to try and cut the line, but because it was a late finish, we got off air, and then I started reversing, and all I heard was this thump. And who puts a frigging light pole in the middle of parkland? Anyway, and so, you know, that horrible feeling, you know, when you're driving home, you think, you dickhead. And so, as it turns out, I haven't had many accidents in my life, just to clarify, but that was not my finest moment.
Okay,
but
good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Skate. Shelter Footycast on socials doing quite well, actually. The boys putting some good clips up there. Yeah, it's growing significantly, Skeeter. Footycast at backchatstudios.com.au. We have a slab on the line today for the best email. I've seen a couple of them, so Skeet, we're going to award one today. If you want to send us an email, we'll give a few slabs away through the year. I think that would make sense, given we're supported by a wonderful beer company.
Absolute Shelter, as we are with Tassa, with the trip for two often to the Eagles away games. I'd like to know, get some feedback on what happened yesterday, where they come back. They reckon they can mix with the players. You'd want to be as far away from the players on that trip back, with all due respects. Anyway, we'll get to that.
But the Fremantle Dockers going well. We gave some tickets away for them too.
Brilliant. And it was, got to say, 50,000 plus. I think not even 51,000.
Yeah. Highest non-derby crowd ever.
Correct, what?
That's a brilliant sign.
Against Adelaide.
It was a Friday night.
But Good Friday, maybe people... You know, the thing with Good Friday, albeit lots of people are away, also lots of people in the metro area...
Sitting around doing nothing.
Sitting around, you know, whether in all due respects, if they had a family function or they went to church, whatever. They had a 4:20 start, go and watch the footy. Yeah. Fantastic.
Very, very good. All right, Skeet, let's get into the big issues of the week. Look, to be frank, there's not a lot floating around, and I think that is why this one is doing the rounds. story that's rolling out of Brisbane right now, if I can start on it, Skeeter, and I'm not going to give it any more oxygen other than the fact that I'll say the fact that we are, and I'll say we, you and I, in the media, are discussing this and making links between Brisbane's poor start and things that have happened in October at this footy club, I find strange at best. And, you know, diving into the lives of players' personal lives, I find it strange reporting. It's got legs. People then turn it into things. This started in big footy. This is a big footy. You're looking at me like you don't know what big footy is. Big footy, a forum where, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the, you know, great Cretans find their way around. It's like, there's just room. It's a rumor mill, right? Some are true, some aren't. This looks to have some sort of factual basis to it. But the way we've reported and spoken about it as if this is the reason that Brisbane are shit, I find, yeah, like I said, strange. And I'd probably like to move on with. I don't know if you have any thoughts on it.
Well, I just think, look, I understand we don't like to pry into those areas. But if reports are true that there have been at least one couple break up because of it and there's been issues amongst the players' wives, I think the only analogy I think you can draw with it is that if you've got issues off the field or if you're a business and personal issues at home, now it doesn't have to be breaking up with your partner. It can be an illness from a family member, etc. And you've been through that.
Yeah.
To try and keep your head in the game is...
That would not be dealt with internally, wouldn't
it? No, of course, but it's not easy. So, I agree with you. You don't want to be dredging up this sort of stuff, but while there's 0-3 and while there's more information coming out...
It's their football though, Skate. It's their football. It's the way their forwards aren't performing. It's the way their midfield's getting beaten. That's why they're bad.
Yeah, but also, you know, Eric Kipwood hasn't got a touch. Charlie Cameron's been ordinary. There's a lot of, put two and two together, and this is part of the reason. Whether that's true or not, look, we can't answer that, but I can tell you now, if Brisbane get beaten this weekend, it may still be on the agenda for some.
Chris Fagan might be under the pump a little bit. If we can just move to footy, talk for a little bit. If they go to 0-4 after grand final, is he going to be under the pump?
Well, not initially, but that's...
Why not?
Well, because you don't sack a bloke after 4 weeks,
I'm not saying he's going to get sacked. He'd be under pressure, won't he? If Craig McRae went 0-4, he'd be under pressure, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
pressure? Well, I don't mean he's going to get his stuff and move his desk and leave.
No, but if you're 0-4, you're not playing finals. So you go from being premier, runner-up, to not playing finals, it's a fair slight. Mind you, that's what happened to Chris Scott last year.
Yeah, that's a good point. And he probably wasn't under too much pressure, was he? And he's bounced that team back to performing at a competitive level. We'll see how they go today in the Easter Monday clash, which has formed a bit of a part of our lives over the past little bit. I'm talking about Brisbane. Lee Matthews, Hawthorn, Brisbane great. He's come out and had a bit of a chat about Fremantle. Now, sometimes over East, Fremantle and West Coast don't get the love or the criticism they deserve either way. Maybe just forgotten about a little bit. Lee Matthews, something at Fremantle's caught his eye a little bit.
Yeah, he was on the Footy Furnace on Nine last night. Just interested to see. He was asked the question about the Dockers and he essentially said, look, Nat Fyfe is the player, if he can get back to his best form, which I'm not sure he'll ever be the player that won in Brownlow.
He won't be.
He's very much become a handball-happy type of play. He doesn't use the ball by foot much. In fact, we noted on Friday night, and I said to David Mundy at the time, I said he's probably not using the ball as well as he'd like. And then Carl chipped in and said, well, his kicking efficiency is zero at this point.
Yeah.
Four kicks and nothing. And then he fixed that up. But his hands have been really good, and he won't play that type of role. But back to Lee Matthews, he said if he can get back, that's Fyfe, to something like his optimum, then he thinks Fremantle can contend for the premiership. It's premature. They've got a Carlton to come, Port Adelaide. There's a lot of work to go. But, yeah, if Lee Matthews at least is buying into that, then you know, it's better than the alternative.
Well, I agree with Lee that I think that they have the squad to contend for a premiership, but I don't think it's on the back of Nat Fyfe, and that's why I think they can contend for it. So Nat won't ever get back to Brownlow medal Nat Fyfe. He doesn't physically have the attributes anymore. The kicking stuff's not an issue because he's never been a good kick. That's not why he wasn't Errol Goulden. He, you know, this penetrating, sizzling. He was a clearance guy, and he could run and jump.
But it was always his kicking of a goal that you noticed because it was
His field kicking's never been good, Skate. Okay. It never has been. It's been a big long kick, gets the ball, brush. He's never been a user, like a distributor. He's a clearance guy, and he's a big, strong midfielder. Patrick Cripps is the same. Ollie Wines are the same. These guys are Brownlow medalists. I wouldn't say Lachie Neal has an amazing kick, two-time Brownlow medalist. So you don't need that to do that. So he is, I think, accepting of the fact that he doesn't have those attributes anymore, the run, the jump, the, you know, consistent Nat Fyfe that we're used to. But that's okay. He can be the foil to Sarong, to Brayshaw, to Young. He can be that guy. He can be the Dave Mundy to those guys. And I think the acceptance of that is the reason that Fremantle can be very, very good. They have high-end talent across the board. We forget about guys like Jordan Clark, who's been outstanding. He's a higher draft pick. Luke Jackson, number one draft pick. Mm. These guys have come to the footy club. And if we can move into Friday night footy, Fremantle 69, defeat Adelaide 34 at Optus Oval. These guys, Hayden Young, high draft pick. These are high-end talents that Nat Fyfe can just be a contributor to. He doesn't have to be the guy, and that's why they can be good.
In his own words, just to complement what those younger players are doing. And correct. That's perfect for him. I think the pressure's off. The experiment to push him forward is done. Friday, victory, 30-odd points, terrific. Game itself, absolute poop.
The whole weekend was absolute poop, mate. I watched almost every game of football this weekend, and most of them I walked away thinking, that was just shit house. So this game here, it wasn't that it was a dour game. Look, there was turnover to turnover, which I kind of thought was a bit of the game. You know, Freo would win a turnover, but then turn the ball straight back. And so they were kind of set up as a defence, and so were Adelaide. So they kind of played this in-between game. It wasn't a really scrappy game. The weather was fine, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was no issue at all. So that wasn't a factor at all. To be honest with you, I think they started a little better this week, first quarter Fremantle, but they still lost the term against Adelaide. But I think once they got their defensive set up right, Adelaide just, they stunk it up when it went to moving the ball forward. They couldn't penetrate. Tex Walker has been a star, but either he's short of a run or he's hit a brick wall at 34, I'm guessing.
Age comes for all of us, skater.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think he's 34. Anyway, he's been a star, but
yes.
You know, that performance made you ask some questions about him.
But Alex Pearce was very good.
Pearce was close to Fremantle's best. He's in the top three or four, I would have thought.
Which he's been most rounds. I would say it's he, Luke Jackson and Sarong. They lead their best and fairest right now. They're three leaders.
Yeah, I can't argue with that at all. But no, Fremantle were terrific. Again, they only kicked 60-odd points themselves, but the way they restricted Adelaide was terrific. Michael Walters kicks 2 goals, 4. Could have potentially had, you know, 3 or 4 goals next to his name. So, as I say, Adelaide, their season's just about done finals-wise, and I had them as an improver going into the eight. So, but Fremantle, they've got bigger tests ahead of them. But, I love what they're doing.
Yes.
In general.
Well, the grit and the fight is probably what Freo fans are loving. They've won some games they should win, right? And they've had to do them from positions that perhaps, you know, they haven't been 10 goals up, they haven't been 5 goals up. They started a little better, but it was a scrappy start. They sit second on the ladder, Skate, at 3-0. If you said that to any fan at the start of the year, they'd take it. Carlton up next, going to be a big challenge. I think they'd rather, this is an away game for them, but they'd certainly rather play them at, are they playing at Adelaide
Mount Barker?
Oval? Mount Barker.
I think, I might be wrong.
Wow, no, that could be right. I think West Coast play at Mount Barker. I'll double check what that is. But their back line, Alex Pearce, Luke Ryan, Michael Walters, I thought that was the best game I've seen him play in 12 months. He by eye, looks quicker and more agile than he has in a couple of years. And that tells me that he's been playing with injury or a little bit under a cloud, and he's finally had a decent run in it. We know the skill he has, like his class around goal and his decision-making, but he's looking zippy. His defensive side is there. You can see it. They're ticking a lot of boxes. They're defending really well. They are transitioning the footy pretty well. The final piece is their connection and their conversion. As a forward line as a team, to kick more goals and score and really put an Adelaide away win by 10 goals.
Exactly. And you're right, by the way, they are playing Carlton at the Adelaide Oval, and it's the Eagles at Mount Barker. So either way, neutral territory, they take that, the Dockers. And you think of what's to come. Darcy is still a couple of weeks away, but you know, if need be, you give him that extra week. While you're playing good footy and it's working, just make sure he's cherry
that's
ripe. I saw Neil Erasmus pick up 36 touches in the waffle on Saturday, so that's a handy player to have up your sleeve. So they've got some players and a bit of depth created, like Cooper Simpson, who he was okay on the weekend, but giving him some game time, which is what you want to see, ideally, from draft picks. Not having, you know, if they're good enough to play AFL footy fantastic. But there's nothing wrong with Cooper Simpson playing some footy this year in the Waffle and just building up his ability to handle the next step.
And confidence. And you know how I feel about this, and this is a good little intersection into West Coast. So, by the way, that those scheduling things that I got right, that may have been the first time I've got anything right for schedules or who's playing who and where they're playing in the history of my... I have no idea with what's coming up, and I don't know why I knew it, but I did. West Coast, 10 a.m., which I liked, actually, I've got to be honest. Got through the Easter Hegg Hunt, couple of chockies in a bowl in front of me, sat down. I went for a bit of a swim in the morning. 10 o'clock, game starts. Then the preceding 3 hours was absolutely dreadful. Like, it was one of the worst games you'll ever see. West Coast lose 30 to 106. They scored 3 goals.
2 of those in the first quarter.
So they kicked 1 goal for the third, remaining 3 quarters. It was funny. I didn't look at the stats all game. When you're commentating, you're very much involved in the statistics. You're trying to bring, either on radio or TV, you're trying to bring the stats along with it. But
just to maybe compliment what you're saying.
Yeah, but watching on TV, I was a proper fan mode, right? I was tweeting away and talking shit and blah, blah, blah. So I didn't look at the stats all the whole time. So I got to the end of the game and my feelings of that was, gee, that was disappointing. It was... To use a word, hopeless, and I don't mean that like an old grandma saying, oh, you guys are hopeless. It was, at the end of it, I thought, what does West Coast stand for? What is their brand? What that, you know, none of their kids shone, but the game style, I couldn't really see it. And then I looked at the stats and they had more or equal inside 50s, 51, which is the most they've had in a long time.
51 apiece.
They won clearances on the day. They won centre clearances.
They won a lot of metrics.
So they're positives that are just making the point. At the end of the game, there were zero positives. I had none. Elliot Yeo and Jeremy McGovern played well. Well, they should be playing well. They're their best players. Other than that, I just thought, what did I just watch? And, okay, then you roll them out and you come out and, you know, the positives are, oh, you know, clearance is good and you know, ball movement okay, blah, blah, blah. Mate, Western Bulldogs just did as they pleased. Like, they literally... won the footy back, whether it was in the back line or if they did win a clearance, and they just did as they liked. Like, that, there was no physicality. I thought there was a real lack of physicality. And if this West Coast side wants to stand for something, I would say physical, contested, which we've heard, mind you, from the footy club, that's what they want to stand for this year. They want their, you know, want to make it a real fight in the contested side. That was, mate, that was... By the eye, don't worry about stats. You can roll out stats as much as you like, and you make them look as good as you like or as bad as you like. By the eye, the Adam Simpson, you could hear it in the press conference, and players. I know you spoke to a couple after the game. That was beyond disappointing. Like, that was uncompetitive, trash. Like, what have they learnt over the process? Nothing. That's what I took from that game.
Yeah, Elliot Yeo was scathing, or certainly pointing out some home truths in the radio interview I did with him.
About what?
Just about acceptance of performance.
Right.
We can't accept this moving forward. And of all the stats you mentioned, I remember just bringing up one saying turnovers, it's cost the Eagles 31 points, cost the Bulldogs, I think, one. The turnovers, their skill execution. Now, I'll never say they weren't trying or they weren't.
No.
But
no, neither would I. They are trying.
Their skill execution, their skills full stop, is not up to AFL standard for a lot of those players. And you mentioned the senior players, but it's those younger players that disappointed me. Campbell Chesser, who there's been a bit of noise about getting some more time, he struggled to get his hands on the footy. There's, unfortunately, at least if you can see those young players carry their way, then it gives you some hope or heart.
We're not, and I know you aren't either, about whacking younger players. And before we get into doing any of that, because I don't think we'll ever do that, because young guys are young guys, the reason they're not shining is because they haven't developed. They haven't had the chance to develop. There's no selection integrity. There hasn't been for 2 years. They've been fit. They've got a game. And Adam Simpson wouldn't like that. The senior players wouldn't like that. But that's the way it's been, through injury, through the list, like list management, over 2 years. And we are seeing that development right now. And you can't just come into an AFL side because you're a high draft pick or you're a low draft pick or whatever and just develop confidence. You can't. You're not going to do it. And I thought across the board, the young players looked lacking in confidence.
But here's the argument or the discussion point. Adam Simpson, the Eagles, under enormous pressure to drop Andrew Gaff after a poor first up game. Yeah. They did that. And you agreed, I agreed that, you know, that the output just wasn't there for him.
Yeah.
lots of people saying, let's get at Campbell Chester again. This is no knock on him, but just he was the player that was sub and has come into the side. You argued at the time that ideally you'd have Chester playing waffle footy.
Yes, for a significant amount of time.
Because not only he's been in the system for a couple of years, his body's been not up to scratch. So that's the main reason. So Simpson brings him in with that supposed pressure, or maybe the decision he made was completely external to that. And then you see Chester not get the footy. So what happens this week with Gaff getting 32 in a waffle game, Chester quiet, and look, he wasn't the only player quiet. I'm just using him as the example here. There were plenty of young players that probably would like that match again.
Yes.
Do you go back to the tried and true, Andrew Gaff, or do you say to Campbell, I'm going to back you in again?
Well, I think they're at the point where they've got to back them in, aren't they? They don't have a choice. It's a rock and a hard place because me banging on about them playing in the waffle, that's fine, and I'm right, by the way. People want to challenge me.
Under the right circumstances.
In an ideal world, I am 1,000% correct. You can't challenge me. You actually can't. There's no way that playing in the waffle for a significant amount of time, if you haven't played senior footy, is good for you, right? If you have a senior team playing away, but they don't, right? So I can say what I like and I can be correct, but what's the option to bring back Andrew Gaff? And then you get the same thing. That's why there's more than just, do we play Gaffy or not? He didn't have any touches. Let's drop him. There's more things that go into it than that. Yep. So that's why I haven't been like, drop Andrew Gaff, drop Jack Darling. Because what's the alternative?
I've asked that. With Jack Darling, I've had the argument almost at the foot. He said, I've got no issue dropping Jack, but you also have to have a semblance of a replacement to give the other forwards and also ask some questions of the defenders of the opposition. So Jack was better on the weekend.
Yeah, I thought the reason he was better was his defensive side.
He chased, he tackled.
He wasn't beaten in a one-on-one. That's what you want from Jack Darling. And he needs to show the example. And that's why you need senior players in there. You need Elliot Yeo setting the standard. You need Jeremy McGovern setting the standard for Brady Hoff. Hoffy needs to look and go, right, that's what being a defender looks like.
And he got caught out a couple of times once against Hoffy. The Bont. Yeah. And look, the week before against Toby Green, really good. Now, he had the job on Waitman yesterday. He kicked two, I think. But still, I think he's one to persevere with, 100%.
Absolutely.
One question I'd like to ask you, just quickly on the Eagles. Harley Reid, if he was at a club up near the top of the table, say, for what it's worth, say, a Sydney or Giants at the moment, would he be, A, playing in the senior side? B, do you think he'd be, not starring, but certainly enjoying more success because of those around him? Or C, do you think they would work him through the VFL?
I think he would play less midfield time in a good side, but be in the team. It's a great question, though, Skate, because I was looking at the West Coast side and I was trying to see in a good side, in a good side, a top four side, how many of the guys on the weekend would walk on to the starting 18. So I'm going to go through. I'm not going to say who. I'm just going to count. I'm going to count them because I don't really want to. What do you want me to name them? You're looking at me like I want me to name them.
No, not necessarily.
Yeo. So these are yeses. Any team in the comp, top four, they would play.
Yep.
Yeo, Kelly, McGovern, Duggan, Cripps, Barras.
So you've got more than four there. But
I've got six. Reid, I think. Jack Darling.
No.
Okay.
No, but are you talking current form? I mean, even Jamie Cripps.
Yeah, you're up.
Yeah.
Jamie Cripps is walk on. He's been elite as usual.
At the moment?
Yeah, he kicked 1-5 yesterday. But, mate, he's had six shots on goal. You can't. Okay, he hasn't kicked straight, but that's fine. He's been a performer this year. So that's six players in an AFL side that would get a game elsewhere. That tells me they're not, tells me
so,
all I need to know.
So we're saying even the Giants, you think, as the team, let's for argument's sake, that they're the, do you think six of those Eagles would go into that side?
Yeah, those six would, yeah. Okay. And then none else. Which
I haven't gone that deep into it, but my point was more about Harley Reid and how he'd fit into a better side, a more successful side.
You would play Harley Reid at the Giants, and they'll play him on a forward flank, forward pocket. Hopefully he has 10 to 12 touches, but at the moment they're trying to get him through the midfield. He's not ready. Room and Jimby, they're trying to get him through the midfield. Would he be better on a back flank? They're trying to give these guys chances. I just don't think they have many options. Skate, we've got to keep moving, but there we go. Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shelter Footycast. Okay, let's move. Thursday, Collingwood, but defeat Brisbane. Did you pick them, Skeeter, at the Gabba? You didn't.
Of course not.
No, absolutely not. We wouldn't have. Collingwood, the winner went on. I think the loser really struggling to make finals now. And Brisbane are good enough, don't get me wrong, but they're 0-3 now. Nick Dacos played off a back flank instead of through the middle. I liked that move from Craig McRae. People, externally were calling for that. I'm sure he doesn't take his notes from Twitter or anywhere else, but that's certainly, there was a bit of a groundswell for that to happen. And that's where he sort of cut his teeth and he played really well.
Yeah, 7 score involvements, 30 touches. He's
going to get the ball wherever he plays. If you played him in a forward flank, he'd still get 30 probably. He's a bit of a ball pig and hunts it. But I thought he impacted the game probably more than he was as a midfielder, and they got guys that can run through that and do the same role.
Yeah, Jamie Elliott with 4 goals, terrific. I think if you break it right down, from what I saw, you could see in the first 5 minutes, I thought their intensity, their pressure was terrific. 85 tackles, I think, was the number, which if you're in that territory, and mind you, we've seen the Giants win matches this year with low tackle accounts.
Yes.
But I just thought that surmised how Collingwood went about their business on Thursday night. It was a red letter, it was a line in the sand type night where they had to show something, and they did. And I thought, again, the quality of the game wasn't brilliant.
No.
And look, it was a weird game where they didn't score for a quarter. Brisbane got...
It was a momentum game, wasn't it?
Yeah, real momentum. And
which Brisbane's, that's what's really, they're really struggling with at the moment, is they're losing momentum and they can't halt it. And that's a specific thing that clubs train, and I can only speak of my time at West Coast, but we would train how to stop momentum, and that can be a ball movement thing. If you can't get your hands on the ball, though, it's a defensive thing, the way your midfielder's set up, the way your backman's set up, can you get a loose behind the ball? And then once you win it back, whether it be a kick-in, staying close to the boundary, skinny side, all those, there are tactics that you can use, and I think they're not quite getting that right. They want to keep taking the game on, and at the Gabba, they play that sort of in-out game, sort of like Collingwood do at the G. The Gabba's quite a wide ground, and so they use that space quite well, but they just look off, and it's great on the intensity as well you speak about. So it was 85 to 53 tackles, which is spot on, but a big one, 16 inside 50 tackles to 9, so they've almost doubled that area of the game, and that's where the pressure comes on and their perceived pressure. And yeah, they didn't look back to their best, did they? But they're playing good. Do we still think Brisbane's a good side or not?
Well,
I know they've lost 3 games, but they've lost to
the Dockers.
Yes,
who
are good.
Carlton.
Yes, who are good.
And Collingwood.
Yeah, who are good. Right.
Yeah. And so, the of those teams, Dockers didn't play finals last year and away from home.
They lost to Carlton by a point.
After leading by 46.
Yeah, so if they win that game, they've beaten Carlton, right? And I know that, they haven't won
that game. What if, could if, yeah.
And so if they won that, then they've lost to the Dockers at home, who I think are very good, and then they've lost to Collingwood. So maybe they're not in that bad of a spot.
No, but they are in terms of trying to go deep in September when you're 0-3 and you're playing catch-up, and Chris Fagan said another 20 games to go. As coach, you've got to say that.
Correct. Carlton defeat North Melbourne 137-81. North Melbourne, again, I thought started pretty well. It was a pretty even contest till quarter time, 3-5 goals. And then Carlton just went bang. They kicked 5 goals, then 6 goals, then another 5 goals. That was their quarter breakdown. And they really put the hammer down after quarter time. Look to be the side we know them for. They haven't beaten many good sides this year. They beat Brisbane, I know, but 0-3. They've beaten North Melbourne, 0-3. And they've beaten, come on, Skeeter.
Brisbane, round 1.
Yes, they've beaten Richmond, who have just scraped over the line against Sydney. Big win, by the way.
Yeah.
But they haven't beaten any big games so far.
No, but you only beat what's in front of you, as you know. And, but they've kicked 21 goals.
Yeah.
And from a North Melbourne perspective, I've got real reservations about their defence and how they're going to hold up during the course of the year. Good young players, but you're not going to, if you're conceding the amount of points they are, that's a major concern.
So let's compare North Melbourne and West Coast for a second.
Yep.
Would you say that was a hopeless, did you see this game, Carlton North Melbourne?
Not a lot.
So I'll watch this one. I would say there's big amounts of hope. They've got high-end young talent in that midfield and McKercher off the back line, Sheasel off the back. You can just look at it and say, if they get more time together, that group is going to be good.
And so it should be. They've been gifted by the AFL some very good picks. And look, there's an argument again about, and we talked about it on radio yesterday, about the Eagles with priority picks. Not a discussion for now, but North Melbourne And albeit their last flag was 99, the Eagles was 2018.
Yes.
Which I think is not insignificant if you...
No.
It's only 6 years ago.
But if we're just talking about for fans, I can see where they're going. I can't see where West Coast are going
not
in the
first
three rounds.
No, I get it. And North Melbourne, you're right. Young kids there, they're still... I thought they might be challenging for a final spot within 2 years. Maybe it's 3 years.
Yeah, they're a little way away, but I think you can see the direction they're going. Cripps has 28, Hewitt 26, Chera 22, but Mackay and Curno combined for 9 goals. I mean, that's the key to beating Carlton. If you've got two key defenders that can wrap those two up, so I think GWS is someone that can do that. But if we look ahead to Freo, I think Freo is someone that can do it. I think Alex Pearce shuts one of those guys down. He's probably better matched to Mackay, bit slower and a bit more contested maybe than Charlie can be at times. So I think Charlie's your maybe higher forward that, you know, does Draper get him at Fremantle next week?
Oh, I love Josh Draper. I like Josh Draper.
Yeah, no. So I looked at his contest on the weekend. He was in 5. He won a hard 4 of those. So he just lost the 1. That's a good start for a young man to be in a one-on-one contest. And if you're going to play on a Curno, you're going to be on one-on-one. So it'd be a good matchup for him.
Yeah, number 37. He moves a bit like Michael Johnson. He's got the same number as Michael Johnson.
Had the hair all sorted out.
Oh, yeah, the bit of braiding happening or whatever it's called.
When was the last time you or I could set a couple of braids together, do you think?
Next question.
The Brady Bunch, Mark Reeves and Will Schofield. Essendon defeats St Kilda. Who did we pick? We picked Carlton, of course.
Pick Carlton.
Essendon 71 defeats St Kilda 67, Marvel Stadium. This was the worst game I've seen all year.
Oh, really?
It was disgraceful. And the only reason that it was in any way watchable, commentatable, was because with 3 minutes to go, there was a kick in it. If someone had been up by 4 goals, I literally would have walked out of... I was commentating this. I would have walked out of... It was the worst football. Turnovers from both sides. No one could pick it up. Skills deplorable. No one could kick a goal. Backman at each end just playing out of the goal square. Like Nick Mutton had 44 disposals. He had 30 at halftime. He had a shocking second half with just the 14 disposals in the second half. Like it was just a free-for-all. That equals a club record, by the way. And then to top it all off, St Kilda were the best side. And then they lose to Essendon. So, mate, I'd had a gutful with this one. It was just a shocking game of footy.
I didn't see it, to be
honest. It was shocking.
Because I was down at the Waffle. But I will say this. Ross Lyon, and why is it a coincidence when you say a shocking game of footy that Ross and St Kilda sometimes were involved?
It wasn't because of Ross or his coaching. It was execution from players. It was nothing to do with game plan. There was ample opportunity. Like it was just disgraceful, to be honest. And it was under the dome. So people kept saying, oh, there was humidity or something. It was like...
the air conditioner was turned on.
Oh, far out. I'll tell you what.
Anyway.
Jake Stringer, the package, I will say, he kicked 2 in the last quarter. He was the difference. That's the sort of player he is for Essendon. He needs to be the guy that stands up in the big moments. He kicked a goal from sort of 57 out with probably 4 minutes to go, a big set shot, and looks like he's always been that guy. Not the 30-touch whatever. He's the 10-touch, 15-touch. 3 of them are goals and they're big goals. And he did that late and he was the reason that they won. But honestly, I'm spending no more time on this one.
Well, Ross Lyon did say, look, he basically gave his midfielders and some of the blokes around Jack Steele a bit of a clip by suggesting they were just on cruise mode, or just
there was just so many. There was so much stuff. I can't even get into it. Like Jack Steele. Okay, he played well with 2 minutes to go. You're down by under a goal. He gets the ball sort of in the back line, and he kicks long down the line. They got players lining up in the middle of the ground. Like you're the captain of the club. He kicked it on the full. He kicked it out on the full. Like, and it was the epitome of what that game was. No leadership, no execution, shit house.
Thanks, Sky.
Melbourne 96 defeat Port Adelaide 89. This game was a good one. I like watching this one. This was a high quality game because it's the two better teams. I don't think St Kilda and Essendon are good enough. I don't think they're probably like 6 through to 12 sort of areas. Melbourne defeat Port Adelaide, 2 really good sides. This was a great game.
Didn't see this one either, by the way.
I'll tell you about it.
Oh, no, but I do know that Max Gawn dominated.
Dominated.
I was, of course, at the CBH meeting the Carlisle cricket team. Remember that? Oh, just out there just spreading the word.
Who were you there with?
I just went out with Stephen Mills and Sacco. Just a little gathering. Anyway, it was just some of the old boys catching up.
You brought it up, not me.
No, I was saying I didn't see this one, but 3 goals to nothing. It was Port Adelaide early doors. Real arm wrestle developed. But talk us through Max Gawn. Must have been an extraordinary effort from
him. Yeah, he was very good. This game here, if you look at the scoring worm, it was an up and down game. Port Adelaide jumped off to a big start, and then Melbourne kicked about six or seven goals in a row, and they got a big lead, and then Port had a big lead, and then Melbourne back in front. So it was a really good one. I always felt like Port Adelaide were sort of had enough to roll over them, but they didn't in the end. Max Gawn, he was outstanding. He had 20 disposals, 50 hit-outs, Gawny. So it was a big stoppage game. Like Ivan Soldo had 24, which you'd usually be pretty happy with. So over 80 stoppages in the end in this one. Gawn dominated. I thought, in terms of the goal kickers, Ben Brown was pretty important for Melbourne. He kicked three goals. Bailey Fritch kicked a couple of very important ones. Their execution, Melbourne, was what separated them. With 20 minutes to go, both teams had their opportunities. Melbourne took them, Port didn't. Melbourne kicked three goals from the boundary in the last quarter that, one shot, one opportunity, M&M, something like that, just drilled them. And that was the difference in the end.
Well, goal scoring efficiency, it's massive, and that's the case. But the inside 50s, I mean, this is where if you're Port Adelaide, you're thinking, how do we lose this game? 66 to 45.
Yes.
Not too many times you have that differential. Yep. Albeit they're only beaten by 7 points, but 66 inside 50s, wins you a lot of games of footy.
Yeah, they were a little inaccurate. They kicked 13-11, but I just thought it was more the opportunities. Like they had opportunities, so a 50-50 chance, and they missed theirs. Melbourne, bang, goal. And it happened sort of four or five times, not just in the last quarter, where they just had one little sniff, kicked a goal, and that just, cools off momentum. It does all of that, and that's how you beat the good side. So still have Port Adelaide as a good team, but a great win from Melbourne, and they continue the us against them rhetoric. Rhetoric, that's not a word.
Rhetoric.
Rhetoric, thank you. I heard Max Gawn speak after the game, and it was just a little thing that caught my ears. So I was like, that's weird. I haven't really heard that before. He said they've got one goal and one goal only this season, and that's to make their supporters proud. That's their, he's like, nothing else matters, not wins, not stats. They want to play a brand of footy, or they want to play games of footy that make their supporters proud. And I don't know if I'm buying it, is why it sort of perked my ears. I would strongly doubt that they've got that up all over the walls and that's how they, motivate themselves to win each week. It sounds good. It sounds great, in fact, that we're doing this for you, the fans. I'm not buying that at this stage, unfortunately. What, I think they're internally motivated as a group to
us against the rest of the world.
Everyone can get effed.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter what motivation. No,
it just sort of was interesting. The captain on national TV saying nothing else matters to us other than.
I don't got no issue with him doing that. That's a public message.
I'm just not buying it.
Okay. You have to buy it, but they've bounced back after being beaten by the Swans. And to be honest with you, I know you tipped Port Adelaide. I tipped Port Adelaide.
Of course, yeah.
We got rolled.
Of course we did. Yep, absolutely. What, does that surprise anybody?
We're definitely morons.
At what point, I would like to ask, at what point do I have any idea of who's going to win a game of football?
Well, I tipped Essendon late in the piece before the bounce down. You know why? Because there was a market move for the Bombers. They went, St Kilda went up to about $1.77 from $1.60.
Well, St Kilda should have won, though. So, that doesn't make any sense. Just lucky. You're just lucky and unlucky. Maybe we're just unlucky. Richmond v Sydney at the MCG. Watch this one intently. It was a great game. It was a back and forward game. Sydney were pretty poor by their standards, I thought. And whether or not that's their performance or it was the pressure brought by Richmond, you could see the defensive intent that Richmond bought the entire day. And that was through the last quarter as well. That tells me Adam Uze has this team. He has them bought into a style of play that he wants them to play. It was a really great, good game footy.
It was. Look, Sydney, after being jumped, kicked five goals second quarter. And you thought, well, they lead by a kick in a bit. It should be a comfortable victory after halftime. But the Tigers, and to be fair, I mean, they were beaten by five goals by Port, but they were very competitive against Carlton, against Gold Coast Suns. They were terrible in the first half, but they showed in the second half some better signs. And then yesterday, they were just outstanding. Nick Vlosten in defence, I thought, really held them together
in their
defensive unit. Alongside Tom Lynch kicked three. I think he went off, though, with an injury of sort. Doesn't look good for him.
He said a little hammy.
Oh, hammy, was it? Yeah, okay. I'd rather that than I thought it might have been knee, yeah.
He said this on the coverage, quite low down. He's done a few hammies, didn't feel like anything he'd done before, but he thinks it's a hammy. So, as we know, that'll be 3 weeks for Tom Lynch. So, if he's done a hammy, don't read into any 50-50s. He'll be 3 weeks out at a minimum, Tom Lynch, which is big for them. He kicked 3 goals. He was impressive. He gives them a real focal point. And, yeah, you mentioned Vlaston. He had 29. Tim Taranto was very good, 35.
Liam
and one.
Baker was pretty good as well.
Someone of interest, I would have thought, West Australian.
Yeah, has he bought a house over here yet?
I don't know. Apparently, he's million-dollar houses. And
Where would he? Both clubs would like him.
Who's a million-dollar house?
I mean, Eagles probably to try and get their teeth into Tim English, but unlikely.
Well, West Coast need
a lot.
They don't need a star. But they need multiple.
Yeah.
They need to go and get 5 players.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about it before. Theoretically, you put Sam Taylor at fullback, you put Tim English in the ruck, and you put Logan McDonald at full forward.
Yeah,
great. It looks pretty good there.
Oh, it looks fantastic, yeah. It looks brilliant. Who else do you want? You want Errol Goulden as well from Sydney? You want Tom Green from Denver?
Speaking of West Australians.
Maybe Toby Green.
West Australians, right, Scully. That's okay. What's wrong at the point okay. I was making. Anyway, Sydney, they'd been up for a while. It's 3 weeks up for a while. Anyway, they'd possibly didn't go with the right mindset.
They could have won this game, and they did.
5 points, yeah.
Richmond, that's a big, for a young group, that's a big win, and it gives belief, and it, you know, sells a pre-season of work that Adam Uzo's put in that, you know, they haven't gone 0-4 and don't know what they're doing, right? So, okay, we play this way, we can win. It's huge for a young group, and that's what, you look at West Coast, and you look at Fremantle. You look at Fremantle this year, they start 3-0. They look back at their body of work this year, and they look back at last year, which is now looking like an anomaly, right? But if you start 0-3, like West Coast have, Fremantle will go, well, Justin Longmuir doesn't know what he's talking about. Players don't know what's our game plan. Don't know. You lose it.
Lots
right?
of questions.
That's why it's so big to start well and win games of footy, because you get the belief. That's good for Richmond. Geelong v Hawthorn. Just a little preview here, Skate, to finish things off. MCG today, Easter Monday clash. How do you see this one going?
Well, Hawthorn's been pretty disappointing, got to say. I know they've got some personnel out and they've struggled to get their best team out in the park. But yeah, they've been disappointing. I've mentioned this before. I think given the significance of the match, and I say that because of Tom Hawkins playing game number 350. We saw it with Tom Stewart most recently in Adelaide. Oh, I think they're going to be awfully tough to beat. Mitch Duncan returns. I think his partner gave birth last week. I stand correct. Tom Atkins is a big in.
Yes.
Tanner Bruhn, Toby Conway, Jake Bowes.
Patrick Danger fills out.
Danger's out, which he was always going to miss with that. Was he going to hammy or certainly got an injury, lower leg injury, I think. Reece Stanley's being managed, so too Zach Tui. So, yeah, they've got a couple of outs there.
Skeeter, I think Hawthorn win this game. I think there's a big upset brewing.
Even in 350th game for Tom Hawkins, yep. Like you know.
Yeah, I know. I've sold you into that, I think. I think you think that's bigger than it is, even though I talk about it like it's the biggest thing on earth. And Geelong are a big milestone team. I think Hawthorn v Geelong, the rivalry that Sam Mitchell will drum up here, I think he gets them up and about. At the very least, they jump them. I think Hawthorn, big lead early. Can they hang on? That's how I see the game going.
They did that exactly the way they did it last year on Easter Monday, you recall.
That's right.
The Cats were 0-3, I think, heading into that game.
Jumped them.
They were jumped by the Hawks. Second half, they obliterated the Hawks and then won comfortably by a big margin.
Okay, I think Hawthorn's. I'm tipping Hawthorn.
Officially tipping Hawthorn
as my roughie of the week.
I think Hawthorn will be competitive, no doubt. But I think surely for Geelong, he'd have to be close to alongside Joel Selwood,
yep.
The most respected figure down at the Cats.
Yeah, pretty close to it, I think. Good luck today, Tomahawk. I would like to see him kick some and Hawthorn will win so I can get a tip right this week. I feel like I've got about two right. You would have picked Sydney, no doubt.
Yeah, I've got 5 out of 8 so far.
I reckon I'm about 3, which is great. Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shelter Footy Cast. Skeeter, just going to finish off with some of our user interaction, our listeners, our viewers. We love them, and they love you. Don't know if they love me, but they certainly love Mark Redding. So here we go, Skeet. You ready for some questions from the people?
Hit me up.
Okay, if you do want to get involved here, Shelter Footy Cast on Instagram, you can direct message us, or you can chuck something in the social comments, or you can leave a comment on YouTube, or you can hit us up, Shelter Footy Cast at backchatstudios.com.au. Now, this is from Nev. Thank you, Nev. You are right on the concussion, guys. It is ridiculous that it's not 21 days in the AFL. It's in damage control. So we spoke about this last week. They want the best players playing. I would make the season longer, but less games. I would go to an NFL-style competition. Essentially, I would have 16 games where everyone plays each other once. I think they would need, we need 17 games for that. 17 games, everyone plays each other once, and that's it. And that's why there is almost regular two-week breaks for players, and you'll have the best players playing every week. Currently, we have so many injuries in the game, and we're not seeing a great standard of footy. We see one or two good games a weekend, and the rest are absolute rubbish. I have to agree with you, Nev. We have a diluted product now, and I've stopped watching the game. I honestly have stopped watching crappy games by unskilled players, fatigued and too tired to play the game.
Nifty Nev, I don't mind the
Nifty Nev.
No, I do like it. There's one obvious problem there is that broadcasters want more games than less. The only way you could resolve that, if you're doing the NFL style of a shorter season, is to have an expanded final series to bump up those numbers.
Could we bring in a state of origin to make it so if it starts at 17, could we go 18 is state of origin, 19 is a wild card round, all-star game. So sort of similar to State of Origin. I'm just trying to give you some more games.
I just don't.
Maybe we have a rivalry round, and you know the teams play a rival twice.
Yeah, that's got more. I think State of Origin's cooked, to be honest, Scully. Unfortunately, okay. And All Star Games. I don't think it means
anything.
It means a bit to the NRL blokes.
People would watch it though if there was less games.
Yeah, but
I'm just trying to give a scenario that might work for broadcasters. I agree.
Yeah.
You can't chop 5 weeks of content are out of the broadcast
and expect to get the dollars in the same vicinity. What I can say is that if you could manufacture some more finals, that would be one way. But I can't see it happening. But I think Nev's on the right path with a lot of what he said with that.
All right, this is a bit of feedback for you, Skeeter, from Steven. I was going to send this email late last year, but you, Mark Reddings, no, it says you too, were being selfish and taking some time off the footy cast. And then I forgot to email through when you came back this year. It's okay, Skeet. I was off too. Hopefully you can see what I have attached, but if not, it's a screenshot of my Spotify wrap-up from last year. To my surprise, I've spent 2,933 minutes listening to you guys, which puts me in the 2% of listeners. I just want to say how great it's been seeing Will take a chance of little-known TV personality Mark Skeeter Redding. Oh, Will, what you have done for Mark is nothing but remarkable, and you should be very proud. You have opened doors for Mr. Reddings. I haven't read this yet. You have opened doors for Mr. Reddings to let him blossom into the great journalist he always wanted to be. Skeeter, I do have one question for you. Like yourself, I have identical twin daughters who are only 2 years old. They are that identical. If I don't know what they are wearing, I can't tell them apart. Do you have any advice for the teenage years to help keep my hair and not let it get too grey or gone? They do have two older brothers who are 4 and 6, but I don't think they will help out in the slightest. So any advice would be greatly appreciated. Keep up the good work. Lots of love, Stephen. That's a good email.
Stephen, fantastic. What got me through, they're 23 years of age, my identical twin daughters, is drink and gamble on the weekend. That's honestly what I've done, just to try and keep the sanity. I sit up in my media room and the girls hear me maybe abuse the TV and they say,
"Stop
Dad,
swearing, Dad.
What's happened? You lose a multi." I said, "Yes, some prick just missed a goal from 12 metres out directly in front." So yeah, just use a couple of vices, not anything illegal, but just maybe gamble responsibly and drink heavily of shelter. Make sure it's
responsibly, also responsible.
How many minutes did you listen to us, did you say?
2,933 minutes.
That's 2,900 minutes more than what my wife has in the last 12 months, Stephen. So thank you very much for your correspondence. A bit of fun, I like it.
Did you used to forget the girls' names? I can just see. I look back on photos now.
And I when they were young, and we dressed them in the same clothes. People say, "Why did you do that?" I said, "Well, because it was just easier to go and buy
two
pairs and go and buy different
colours."
Did they
have like a bracelet or something? Like, how did you know the difference?
Oh, you just tell. Just I don't know. You just call a name if someone answers.
You didn't know this. Very good.
They're different now, but they're identical. So I just want. I wonder if Stephen, if he gets back to us, whether he's got the twins and that's it.
No, two boys. Older boys, 4 and 6, and he's got two twin daughters.
Oh, you poor bastard. 4 under the age of 7.
Yeah, that's correct.
Mate, definitely get an account with a betting agency and just get that shelter into your brother because you're going to need it for the next 15 to 20 years.
Oh, very good. Last email coming from you. That was brilliant, Stephen. Thank you, mate. Give us an update on how that betting account's going. Now, dear guys, I thought that subject might get your attention. What is the subject? I don't know, but it has got its attention. I hope you're doing well. I'm very stressed. Sorry.
You haven't pre-read this, obviously.
No, I don't do anything. Dealing with some money troubles at the moment. Won't go into detail. Backchat Studios is my therapy, but not my therapist.
I thought he was having for a loan.
For food. Well, not from you or I. For food, I'm currently living off stuff in my pantry. Stuff that has been collecting dust for years. Stuff that has been there since Scoey was taking hangers on Caleb Daniel. Very good. Pasta with baked beans. I don't know if this is a joke or this is real, so we'll just keep going. Pasta with baked beans mixed with some chili flakes was tonight's dinner. Did the job. Plenty of leftovers for breakfast. In times like these, with the current emotions I'm feeling, I would normally drink enough beers to feel euphoric, then followed by enough beers to fill the toilet. Moral of the story, I can't afford beers to drown my sorrows, but I can somewhat type an email. I'm praying this was the best email you've received this week so I can get my hands on some delicious shelters. Regardless, love your work, guys. Here's to another great season of AFL. Cracks an old dusty cans of Heinz. Cheers. GTA.
Who? GGA.
GTA, mate.
GTA. Yeah. I thought it was a bit sad for a moment there where he's heading, but he's obviously...
I think he's trying to get our attention. He wants a free slab of shelters. I'm going to tell you, Skeeter, right now, Stephen with the twins, he's going to need some. We're going to get a slab out to Stephen.
Beautiful.
And GTA... We're going to get the dust off. We're going to get some shelters out to him as well.
GTA, you're a star. The food, in fact, remind me, because I was up at 3 o'clock doing breakfast radio this morning. So on the way here, I had, for some reason, a packet of barbecue shapes in my backpack. So I've just grabbed a handful and stuck that in the gob. So not exactly the most healthy start to the morning, Scully, but... You know it's like getting up early. You're cooked.
We're very thankful for your time here on the Shelter Footycast, Skeet. Make sure you give us a follow, Shelter Footycast. Footycast at backchatstudios.com.au. You can do all of that stuff. Skeet, give us an ending that we'll be proud of.
Well, I look forward to catching you on Wednesday with Scully, of course. Oh, yes. And again, he's away going to the gather round. Well, to stick here and try and give you the information required as Hollywood just floats off into South Australia to try and have a...
Am I Hollywood?
A floater, a pie floater.
You idiot.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.